Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Well, welcome to Drop the Subject. Allie here, and what is that feedback? What is that awful sound? Jesse, you're fired.
I do hear some whistling.
What is the whistling? Is this mic on? Is this mic on? What's happening? What's happening? Make it stop. All right, let's press on.
Yeah.
Allie here. Char Giselle is back. I haven't seen you in forever.
Yes, I haven't seen you since last year. That's what I've been telling everyone I have not seen.
How's your 2020 going so far?
You know what? So far, so good. I have to kick this show off, though, by acknowledging James. He was an Uber driver of mine on Friday. I got to do a little humble brag.
Shout out alert.
Friday, I toured the set of ABC's How to Get Away with Murder. And then when I was leaving the set, I hopped in the Uber. And I heard a familiar voice, and it was Ryan from Let's Go There.
Oh.
Because my Uber driver was listening in on Channel Q.
See, what are the chances?
And
isn't
I told,
that a nice feeling?
Yeah, I told him, I was like, look, this is where you're taking, because I did the late night debate night with Jarrett. Mm. And I said, this is where you're taking me right now. So I'll give you a shout out the next time I do something on air.
Oh, so he was probably waiting. So
yeah.
I'm guessing by the fact that you're mentioning this now.
I forgot to do it.
You forgot to mention James on Friday night. So he was waiting with bated breath to be mentioned on the radio, which is...
Actually, he had a poker game. He told me he might miss it. He had a poker game that night. So I told him... So this is probably... He's probably driving around now. And this is for you, James.
Okay. James... You've made a great decision. I know some people might give you a low rating for... No, I'm completely kidding. You know, there's a lot of people who, surprisingly, you know, when you find the station, you find it in weird little places,
yeah.
Especially here in Southern California. I know we broadcast all over the country here at Channel Q, but, you know, Clayton said that he heard it in a liquor store somewhere.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard it in a couple hair salons.
Some poke bars.
Some poke... And maybe...
Shout out to Jesse.
One or more poke bars. I mean, the fact that somebody listens to Channel Q and then goes to a poker game.
Yeah.
Seems like two things that would not go together.
That's
like,
what he told me he had on schedule for that day, because he was like, I'll likely miss the show because I have a poker game tonight. And I said, okay, well, happy Friday night, James.
Well, you know what? I hope he tells his poker buddies about Channel Q.
Me too.
You said he listens to every single show.
Yeah. He told me that when he drives the Uber, it's on Channel Q all day.
James, you can give us a call anytime if you want to call and review Char's shout out. 833-77-CALL-Q. Again, that's 833-77-CALL-Q. We also want to talk to some of your passengers.
Yeah.
I always love to have Uber drivers call, and then we can kind of bring the driver and the passenger closer together through the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Well, we have an exciting show for you. I forgot yesterday to give you the winner of the gayest news headline of the week, which is something that we do regularly here on Drop the Subject. We also have a game that we're going to get to, High Low, Oscars edition. Oscars had really bad ratings. They were... just in, and 3 million people, 3 million less people, I'm sorry, watched the Oscars this year than the year before. But what else had bad ratings? I'm going to give you some things that also had bad ratings, and you have to guess whether it was higher or lower than the Oscar ratings. It's just the tip Tuesday, so we'll get to that. But I wanted to talk about something that you brought up in the green room before the show even started, Char. A really interesting topic, because dating is on the brain for a lot of people right now. Valentine's Day is on the horizon. People, if you haven't made reservations now, it's your SOL. Okay, there's nothing available. I've been trying to convince my wife that Valentine's Day is on a Saturday so that I can, you know, save a couple of bucks. But you were dating somebody recently. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because that concept of finding out after a few dates, or maybe even 10 or 15 dates, that the person you're dating is crazy.
Yeah.
Is something that is a little bit tough. And I'm not necessarily just calling this person flat out crazy that you were dating, but you realize some discrepancies or some things that you did not realize about a person you were dating after the fact, after you had already kind of been involved.
Well, we were soft dating. That's what I was still getting to know him.
Okay.
But the red flags were there.
Hmm.
Well, you know, they were miniature red flags until they became big red flags.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'm not doing this.
And literal red.
Literal red.
Yeah.
Literal red.
Which is something that I feel like when you're dating or trying to find somebody to date, Those are things that should be flat out immediate knowledge on your dating profile.
Well, I probe too much. So it's going to come out within the first, I'd say, month of me dating anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I ask a lot of questions. I'm a journalist by trade. Like, I like conversations and I like getting to know who's in my space. And so I just, you know, you kind of store things away. But, you know, you got to pay attention to those red flags.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually pretty lucky. I don't really think that I've had anything like that as far as political views or just general. You're like, oh, yeah, well, anyway, everyone knows that the Earth's flat. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, anyway, I'll have the bisque. And you're like,
Or people who are obsessed with, like, conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Like, there's a line. Like, there are some fun ones out there. And then there's a line, like, if you're, like, honestly subscribing to some of the more ridiculous ones. You know, that makes me think, you know, along the lines of politics, like with the whole pizza shop thing. Remember during the 2016 election cycle when they said Hillary Clinton had like sex traffickers like in this pizza restaurant in New York City. Like when you subscribe to that type thing,
yes,
it's
but
like
it's, those crazies, they'll just all of a sudden deliver a nugget of crazy in the midst of regular conversation.
Right.
And that's what I think is interesting is when you are dating.
You gotta stay alert.
And you get, yeah, because that stuff, those, like you said, they're mini red flags. And you're like, should I overlook this? Because you're already kind of involved at that point. You think the
And you become endeared.
Cute.
They're attractive.
Exactly. They've already said, you know, 70 right things.
Right.
And the 71st thing is completely bat S.
Right.
And you're like, all right, well, maybe it was just me. And you kind of make excuses. But then you can't ignore those red flags because later on, then months down the line, you're like, well, I should have just listened to myself and
absolutely.
Not wasted the last 3 months of my life.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, there is a new Valentine's Day trend, and I want to know what you think about this, Shar. It has to do with boudoir photos, but they're different than you expect. So we're going to talk about that and see if it's something that maybe you want to do, whether it's with a friend, a couple, or a pet, maybe. I don't know. Drop the subject. Coming right back.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Allie here. Shar Giselle joining me all show long. Welcome back to the show, Shar. So happy to have you. Gave a long shout out to James, too. Hopefully you're still listening after all the technical difficulties.
I know. We had a rocky start today.
We did. Let's just, you know what? That's in the past.
You're right.
Let's live in the present, Shar.
You're right.
And actually, let's live in the future. It's Valentine's Day on Friday, okay?
Ugh, don't remind me.
Do you have plans?
I'm going to a friend's party. He's launching like a product line. So that's the only plan. And then I'm going to go see The Photograph, that new Issa Rae movie. But I'm going in the morning.
Oh, you're doing a matinee.
Yeah, with no lashes and big shades. And I'm sneaking some Sour Patch Kids in. Because I can't do it in the evening and be surrounded by couples. I'm not doing that.
No, I don't want to do that either.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
I'm not doing that.
Well, there's a lot of things that people can spend money on for Valentine's Day. You know, they estimate that this year, $27 billion will be spent on Valentine's Day in the form of dinner, chocolates, giant oversized teddy bears. I mean, the list is endless.
Yeah.
I've also been getting all kinds of emails pushing products on me. TripAdvisor said, hey, how about you spend Valentine's Day in Dallas? And I was like, no. Why would anybody go to Dallas for Valentine's
Dallas
Day?
Dallas is a fun city, but I just don't see myself flying out there for Valentine's Day. Maybe a party.
Maybe a long weekend. Yeah. Maybe if I accidentally road tripped there.
Yeah.
Great.
Dallas is fun. And if you're a single person, it's good for singles, too, because Dallas has some lookers.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Well, and they say everything's bigger, right? okay. There's a new thing for you to spend your money on this year. It is a hot new trend. You know those boudoir photos that one person might give to their significant other where you go into a bedroom and you get in some skimpy lingerie, you hire a photographer, you probably pay him too much, you get into some, seductive poses.
Not sadistic.
No, you give him a nice thumb drive with some sexy pictures on it and call it a day. This is that, but for couples. Now, couples boudoir photos is a new trend this Valentine's Day. And if you want to do this, you're going to have to fly to Pennsylvania, okay? It's called Alibach Photography. And apparently, couples are flying from all over the United States to go to this couples-based boudoir studio.
It doesn't make sense to me.
There's nothing that turns me off more than looking at myself trying to be sexy.
Yes.
If I'm going to enjoy a boudoir photo, which I still find to be a little strange.
Yeah, it's a little narcissistic. I think it's a little self-absorbed if you're doing, even with the couples. Like, why do we need to document this in this fashion? Like, we all got iPhones and stuff. Like, why do we need to do this professional dress up?
Is not every iPhone its own boudoir photo session?
Okay, depending on how you use it.
I mean, shot with an iPhone 11, am
yes,
I right?
Yes.
And Instagram, a lot of people turn their accounts into an ongoing boudoir photo session.
That is true.
So I'm not sure what is so unique about this specific place to the point where people are spending money to fly to Pennsylvania just for this.
For this specific faux talk. I feel like this speaks to a different generation, though. I feel like the more tech-savvy generations, like millennials, some younger millennials and Gen Z, aren't interested in this.
I don't know, though, because my friend who recently got married, she showed me a boudoir photo session that she did for her husband-to-be, and it was one of those classic, you know, she's in sort of this French 1920s style lingerie. Okay. She's gently looking out a window with her bosom showing. It was very classic, but it was kind of cool. We were like, man, these are actually really sexy.
Would you like a photo like that?
No.
From your significant other?
From my significant other. I feel like I might enjoy that, but I think I would like a little. I would like to mix it up a little bit. I don't know if I'd want just classic 20s French theme. I'd want maybe, you know, cats involved.
Okay, Taylor Swift.
I don't know. I think I'd want a motorcycle in there.
Okay.
I'd want something with a little edge.
This is not anything that would appeal to me if a man gave me a sexy photo.
Really?
No. What am I going to do with it? I'm not going to hang it up. What am I going to do with it? It's not going to go in my nightstand drawer.
It's funny you mention that because this session, if you get it, it includes professional hair and makeup, and you get a big giant photograph of your session. So you get a beautiful one-of-a-kind piece of artwork to commemorate your love. So you're going to get, what, a giant Monet painting of you and your significant other on a bed together? I think the question here for most of us is, what is the use that we're getting out of this, except for to give our kids something to talk about in therapy?
It's literal narcissism. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Honestly. And that's not me being mean. That's just how I see it. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this?
Well, I just don't see the repeated use. And this is the cheap side of me, when I decide to spend money, I want to spend it on something that's going to last a while that's going to give me continued use.
There's
a
so photo much session, more.
It seems like the photo session in it of itself would be fun. Like, hey, we went to go do this fun, crazy thing in Pennsylvania. Ooh, look at us. Now I'm going to put these in a drawer and forget about them completely.
Right. There's a lot of varying different memories that you can create in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
This doesn't have to be the focal point if you go.
I mean, Liberty Bell. And boudoir
photos. I'm sure there's
photos.
Some nice restaurants, some good happy hours, a museum or two.
Uh-huh.
You could do a lot more with your time in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, you choose how you want to spend your money this Valentine's Day. Shar and I recommend that you do not spend it on couples' boudoir photos in Pennsylvania. But hey, we go against the grain. That's who we are. All right. News from the right. Speaking of going against the grain, there are some right-wing people who have all kinds of things to say. And we thought it'd be fun to spotlight some of those stories here on Drop the Subject because we do give everyone a voice. And some right-wing people think that BuzzFeed needs to go down, down, down. It is the biggest source of fake news that there is. So we'll talk about that with News from the Right when we get back.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
You know, a lot of people would probably want to drop this subject, but we are giving everyone a voice here on Channel Q, and it's important to spotlight some of the voices that not everybody agrees with. Right, Char?
Yeah.
This is a first on Drop the Subject. This is a debut of a new segment we call News from the Right.
Okay.
We've gone to a website called rightsmarts.com.
Okay, and I agree, giving different people a voice, because we don't all want to be an echo chamber, so things...
Exactly.
Our thoughts deserve to be interrogated, even if it is nonsense. Go ahead, Allie.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Char. This is an article that was written by a guy named Jay Allen, and I'm just going to give you a little preview. At the bottom of the article on WriteSmarts.com, he says, just a quick note, I'm a young, mostly broke guy trying to make a living writing about right-wing politics in a hostile social world. So if you enjoyed this article or are really just a decent person who likes to help someone out, please share this. It's always much appreciated.
Does he happen to work for Beth Ailes newspaper? Because
I
feel like that's what her staff was pleading for when she stepped in and became that.
Please read this.
Please.
Oh, all right. So the title of this article for News from the Right today is as follows. It's time to give BuzzFeed the InfoWars treatment. BuzzFeed is fake news. So this Jay Allen feels that BuzzFeed is a bunch of fake news and needs to be completely banned from the internet. The subheadline reads, "Social networks colluded to ban InfoWars. Why won't they do the same to BuzzFeed?" And InfoWars, I actually didn't know a ton about, but you seem to.
Yeah, I just know that Alex Jones was at the helm of it. I believe that's his name. He always looks like he's one shout away from a pulmonary embolism.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew to know about this man in the wake of the Sandy Hook tragedy, because he was really one of the ones that was kind of, if I remember correctly, like fueling this idea that Sandy Hook wasn't real and these were paid actors. And this
what?
Was,
were paid actors?
Little children were paid actors, and this was, you know,
everyone knows working with child actors is awful. Okay?
Listen, backed by the Obama administration at the time, like, he was just an awful right wing talking head that just led with vitriol and just wrong information.
Okay,
across
so
the board,
definitely dating red flag conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, so this guy, to give him some credit, Jay Allen does not support InfoWars.
Okay.
He's like, okay, yes, InfoWars had, quote, lowbrow conspiracy theories, things like gay frogs, which was another conspiracy that I didn't know about and I would love to hear more about.
So it's nice to know that even though this author, the writer, is...
against BuzzFeed. Right,
but he's conservative, but he has a bit of common sense to him?
Yes.
Because he doesn't subscribe to the nonsense that InfoWars was pumping out.
Yes.
Okay.
But he says InfoWars was releasing nonsense, but BuzzFeed takes the game to a whole new level.
Oh, gosh.
Publishing reports which pounce on democracy itself.
This is rich coming from someone on the right. This is so rich. Mm. It's comical. The jokes write themselves.
Yeah, they do. It says, if there was ever any doubt, that doubt was that BuzzFeed is fake news. That doubt was erased on January 17th when their news branch, creatively dubbed BuzzFeed News, published a report alleging that Donald Trump had directed his attorney Michael Cohen to lie in Congress, which I believe is fact-checked to be true, but I'm not sure.
Girl, so much has happened within these past few weeks. I can't even keep up.
Yeah. I just think it's really funny that, I mean, yes, BuzzFeed News definitely breaks some big stories, mm-hmm. but to attack a website that also gives you gems like, which famous redhead are you? Finally, the truth is out, a quiz. Or do you have the same love triangle opinions of the cast of To All the Boys? Another quiz. How can you hate this news source?
Listen, BuzzFeed is not above critique. I'm not saying that. They are not above critique. However, to lead this article comparing them to InfoWars is, I think, just one of the most asinine talking points. Like, I wouldn't even click on this because it's ridiculous.
Mm. It says, we all know social networks have a history of discrimination against right-wingers, despite denials from the left. It's gotten so bad that even President Trump has tweeted about it. Oh,
wow.
Wow. If he's tweeting about it, then it must be bad.
I am not interested in anyone from the right playing the victim in any sort of social commentary, because you all have shown your true colors with blindly supporting your president.
Well, Donald Trump's tweet is embedded in this article. He says social media is totally discriminating against Republican conservative voices. Speaking loudly and clearly for the Trump administration, we won't let that happen. They are closing down the opinions of many people on the right while at the same time doing nothing to others.
Now, that I disagree with only because I feel like there's this always this clear indicator of a talking point between Republicans and Trumpers. Everyone wants to draw a line in the sand like, oh, there's a difference. Mm. But I mean, and from my eyes, when I zoom out, everybody's one and the same over there. So
you do not agree with this article. Is
no,
that what you're saying?
No, I think that article is hogwash and a waste of time. I think it's utter nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, this has been a learning experience for all of us. And by that, I mean none of us. This has been News from the Right. This may have been the last time we do it. Or who knows? Maybe we'll go a little farther right and see what happens over there. Okay, I have to tell you about a way you can win a trip to Miami, and I have to give you the gayest news headline of the week winner. So all of that is on deck. Don't go anywhere. Drop the Subject returns.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
I wanted to take this opportunity to give you some information on things you can win just by listening to this station and listening to this show. Isn't that exciting? To the tune of an escape to Miami Beach to celebrate Pride's biggest weekend festival ever. That is April 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And here's a little more info. If you go to wearechannelq.com, you can enter our National Flyaway Contest for a chance to experience the best of Miami Beach Pride. I can see the rainbow Speedos now. We'll fly you, plus a friend, to beautiful Miami Beach. You can set up in a gorgeous hotel. We'll provide you with two VIP weekend passes. You can sip on some ice cold drinks from the open bar in the VIP area, and you can enjoy a champagne brunch before you go to the parade. So just enter the contest right at wearechannelq.com. And that you can enter to win your chance to experience Miami Beach Pride, April 3rd through 5th. Very exciting. The prizes continue with a 4-pack of tickets to Cirque du Soleil. This is something that we're going to give away a little later in the show. I'll give you your cue to call. But we are giving away 4 tickets to Cirque du Soleil's Volta at Dodger Stadium this Thursday, 2 days from now, February 13th, 2020. Very, very exciting. So I'll give you some information on how you can win those. But some good stuff here.
Yeah, good Valentine's Day thing. I wish I could go to Cirque du Soleil at Dodger Stadium on Thursday night.
I know. Same. Okay.
But I won't have anyone to go with.
Oh, you can go. I'll go with you.
I actually have a date Thursday night.
Oh, really?
I'm not joking. I have a brunch date and a dinner date.
Okay, so why don't you go to Cirque du Soleil?
Because I don't know. I don't think I qualify, girl. I work here now.
That is true. That is actually one of the negatives to becoming an employee
all
for a radio company
cool
is
prizes.
That yeah, you're no longer able and eligible to win those tickets. Okay. So, I've got the results here for the gayest news headlines of the week. I said I was going to give you them, and I was a little late yesterday. I did not give have a chance to reveal the winner. So, without further ado, just a reminder, here are the nominees for gayest news headline of the week. Headline number 1, box to box. Why Fernandez is a leader. Headline number 2, butt emissions. Study finds even extinguished cigarettes give off toxins. Headline number 3, Marks and Spencer's love sausage is back for Valentine's Day. And headline number 4, Subaru is creating furniture from recycled coffee pods and candy wrappers. That's my personal favorite because it's so lesbian. But there is only one winner. I put the voting up on Instagram story over the weekend, and the winner is, drumroll please. Cool. Marks and Spencer's love sausage is back for Valentine's Day. Wow. Congratulations. Very, very exciting. Marks and Spencer, do you have anything to say? That's what I thought. Great.
I want to know the story behind that headline.
The love sausage?
Yeah.
It's a heart-shaped sausage. Oh. You have all the information that you need now.
I guess it's for the meat lovers out there.
It is, and there are a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I bet somebody myself will included. Buy that. Yeah, exactly. All right, Drop the President is next. Bloomberg is saying some very problematic things. I mean, he did say them a few years ago, but does it really matter? I know that you and Jarrett covered some of this on Friday night. It continues to circulate some unbelievable things that Bloomberg has said while campaigning for LGBT rights. So we'll get into that next. Drop the President is on deck when we get back.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
All right, big primary happening today in New Hampshire. Who knows when we will know the results of that, given what happened in Iowa. Of course, caucuses are a little hairier, so who knows?
I was about to say, we have to know by tonight, yeah. Because I don't know if you know the Conners, which is the Roseanne spinoff.
I do know the Conners.
They're doing their live taping. It'll be live on the East and the West Coast simultaneously, and the New Hampshire primary will be in the script. Like, they've already rehearsed. I watched this on Good Morning America this morning.
You did?
So they'll be, like, improvising based on the results.
Oh, God. Well, then I really hope that Iowa doesn't repeat itself.
I know.
Because then they'll be like, insert
commercial
line here.
Break.
Right. Well, we'll know a little bit more as the day goes on when it comes to the New Hampshire primary, but I can tell you right now that Joe Biden has already left New Hampshire.
Uh-oh.
And is now flying to South Carolina to kick off, to headline a campaign kickoff event there. So that's actually not a good sign.
No, that is a terrible sign.
If he's like, all right, you know what? F this state. I'm going to go. Let's just go on to the next.
Go where I'm comfortable. He just said in the debate that South Carolina, you know, the Black caucus down there is Team Joe.
Really?
Even though I could not find what, Tom Steyer held him accountable, like denounce your campaign member, what they said. They said something racist or something along those lines. This happened on the debate Friday. But when in my Google Schmoogle, I couldn't find what was said that Tom Steyer was alleging against Biden's campaign member.
So Tom Steyer was saying things about Biden's
Someone from Biden's camp said something about something racist, allegedly, about someone in Steyer's camp. And so he was calling for Joe to disavow that person's statement. And Joe refused to. Joe doubled down. So I couldn't get to the meat of it. That's the point I'm trying to say.
Okay. Well, let's break some of this down, because also Michael Bloomberg is making a lot of headlines stuff that he said 3-4 years ago. This is Drop the President.
Drop the President.
I know that you did get to some of this in the election night, late night show on Friday night with Jarrett. And this is something that I saw on Twitter last night, but I imagine it's been swirling around since Friday. And Michael Bloomberg, he's running a very unconventional campaign. A lot of people know this. He has said a lot of very controversial things in the past, and a lot of those things are starting to kick up now and influence people's decisions. Of course, I read about him saying all this wonderful stuff about LGBT rights and how he's all for that. And then you hear
LGBT rights. I don't know if you're here for the tea, honey.
I don't know if you're here for the tea either, Char. And that is why we're going to play this. I know that you guys played it on Friday, but for any of you Drop the Subject listeners, this is something that he said in 2016 when it came to the bathroom law.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know, is somebody a good salesman, give him the job of going to the Midwest and picking a town and selling to that town the concept that some man wearing a dress should be in the locker room with their daughter. If you can sell that, you can sell anything.
So, he...
What a despicable thing to say.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, for many reasons, not okay. And then to turn around and be like, I'm championing for LGBT, which he included, rights, and...
Because he's a Republican turned independent turned Democrat.
Well, I mean, it's hard to believe that a billionaire like that could be a Democrat. I don't know why I guess I do know why. I assume that a lot of big billionaires are Republicans.
Of course. And on top of that, even if that is his political trajectory, that does not all of a sudden then, you know, absolve him from the harmful rhetoric that he spewed in the past. Like, he has to answer to these things in order to be taken seriously within this current presidential race. He is going to have to account and answer for the harmful rhetoric that he spewed out so much as, 4 years ago? 2016 was just 4 years ago?
Yeah, and I'm all for, if you've learned from your mistakes, if you've realized and changed your way of thinking, but also to change, like, do you buy this change?
No. And I honestly wish he would just drop out and then take all of those billions and put it in. I've seen a lot of conversations saying, okay, well, you know, give it to a grassroots organization within the Democratic Party. Like, you might not be ready to throw your bucks behind a specific candidate yet because we have not gotten there yet. Mm. But him buying his way into the race, considering his problematic past, I feel like he just serves as this big distraction.
Well, he has said some other things about the stop and frisk issue. That was in New York. And this is a whole other concept that has been coming up. And this is something that he has apologized for. He has said, it was one of the first things I remember when he said he was running for office. Everyone was talking about stop and frisk. And he acknowledged it and apologized for it. And he said, by the time I left office, I cut it back by 95%, but I should have done it faster and sooner. I regret that. And I have apologized. That being said, it doesn't change what he said for, I guess it's almost 5 years ago now. Listen to this. I know that the audio quality is not great, but we'll help transcribe a little of it.
Because we put all the cops in the minority neighborhoods. Yes, that's true. Why do we do it? Because that's where all the crime is. And the way you get the guns out of the kids' hands is to throw them against the wall and frisk them.
All right.
And then they start to...
So what he said is, we put all the cops in minority neighborhoods. Yes, that's true. Why do we do it? Because that's where all the crime is. And the way you get the guns out of the kids' hands is to throw them up against the wall and frisk them.
I'm disgusted as someone who exists on the intersections of transness and blackness. These two clips, there's no way in this lifetime or the next that Michael Bloomberg would get my vote. There's none.
I think that it's too little too late.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, to say, oh, you know, 10, 20 years ago, I said A, B, and C, but when it was only 4 years ago, and then now you're really, it does seem that all the things you're saying now are pandering to get votes.
Yes. And you were just down in Compton. That's what the caller said on Friday night when she called into the Jarrett Show, the late night debate night, whatever.
The Jarrett Show.
That he was down in Compton. As if it seems very pandering. And like I said, just to reiterate my initial point, he is serving as a huge distraction from people who are literally at leading the race within the Democratic Party. Mm. He's just there.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, to be fair, I don't think he's really going to get a nomination.
He's not.
I mean, I don't think he ever
so
was.
So why waste your time? Why
yeah,
are you wasting everyone's
why,
time?
You're wasting everyone's time and you're wasting your own money, even though you have billions of it. All right, more Drop the Subject when we get back, and a chance for you to win a 4-pack of tickets to Cirque du Soleil on Thursday. So you're going to want to keep listening. This is Drop the Subject.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
All right. High Low Oscars edition. If you want in, it's not too late. 833-77-CALL-Q. If you want tickets, four of them, to Cirque du Soleil's Volta at Dodger Stadium, it's on Thursday. It's a great way to lead up to Valentine's Day if you really want to show out, as Char said, off the air.
Mm-hmm.
It totally, I mean, this definitely will get you some points. So call now, 833-77-CALL-Q. And you can get in on the game, but we're going to start with you, Char, because I want to know, you've actually got a lot of great TV knowledge, so I think you actually will be good at this game.
Let us pray.
Here's how it works. The Oscars had a horrible night, okay?
Yeah.
It was one of their worst in a long time. The three-hour-plus telecast averaged about 23.6 million viewers and a 5.3 rating among adults 18 to 49. Now, if you're not familiar, the way the Nielsen's TV ratings work are, if you get a 5.3 rating, that means that about 5.3% of American households actually watched the Oscars live. So 5.3% is a pretty terrible rating.
Well, and there are factors that went into this, I think, because the host is part of the selling point, and you know, they lacked diversity and inclusion this year. So
no, there was a lot working against them. And then they kind of tried to make up for it with Janelle Monáe and Billy Porter opening it. But then it was like, but you're obviously doing this to
pander.
Yes. And kind of make up for all the mistakes that are so obviously there. And I would argue that possibly Parasite winning had something to do with that as well.
Yeah.
I think there were some politics involved. Even though it's a fantastic movie, I don't think it didn't deserve to win by any means. But I do think that was
a
factor.
They had to make up for something.
Exactly. But of course, the Oscars were down 20% year over year in viewers and 31% in key ad sales demographics from adults 18 to 49. But the question here is, did other things that were horribly rated do better or worse than the Oscars did this year.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to give you some items. They can range anywhere from Amazon products to restaurants to movies that have gotten horrible Rotten Tomatoes ratings to TV live musicals, a lot of which have gotten really bad reviews. And you must guess whether they're higher or lower than how the Oscars did. You ready to play?
I am.
Okay. All right. First one here is Amazon. It's an Amazon product, and it is a UFO detector.
The UFO detector.
Jesse, you are speaking so loud. Do we have somebody on the phone?
Yes.
All right. Put them on the line. I want them to get in on this. Maybe Shark can help them guess. Hello, who's this?
It's Angel Arias.
Hi, Angel. How are you doing?
Hi, Angel.
How are you?
You sound awful. Can you take yourself out of speakerphone, please?
Yeah, I'm trying. Give me 1 second.
Okay, yeah, because you're going to need to pay attention for this. It's not just going to be I'll, you know, listen to a radio show and, you know, bite my nails and answer some questions. Okay, since we've got you on the phone, Angel, are you able to go to this show, Cirque du Soleil's Volta? Pretty exciting, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now that you're here, Char's going to help you. And the first item, you're just in time, is an Amazon product. It's a UFO detector. It says 33% of Americans believe in UFOs, and the UFO detector is designed to sense these magnetic and electromagnetic disturbances. It has continual 24/7 monitoring, and one of the reviews says that it was poorly constructed, don't waste your money, the insides are not even attached to the outsides, and
what?
There's no bottom, only a bare circuit board to scratch up surfaces and short out the product.
I'm going to say, I'll let Angel go first. Do you think that was rated higher or lower than this year's Oscar? Angel?
Angel, are you there?
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
it?
I'm here.
Okay, what's your answer? Angel. Angel, you're killing me. Yeah. What's your answer?
Higher or lower?
I think it's lower.
You think it's
okay.
lower?
Well,
I'm going to say higher.
You're going to say higher?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to give it to Shar on this one. It was higher, so Angel, I'm sorry. 70% of people who bought this enjoyed it.
Wow.
Yes, even though the insides were not even attached to the outside.
A UFO detector?
Yes.
How does that even work?
Let's move on to the second here. A restaurant by the name of Bistromed Pizzeria and Sandwich Shop in Chinatown in D.C. Multiple Yelp reviews describe this horribly botched delivery orders from this Chinatown pizza and sandwich restaurant, which also inexplicably has a Turkish food menu section.
What?
One of the reviews says, my boyfriend and I had our credit card number stolen from this place. Another person said that there were 56 health violations. It was the dirtiest restaurant in the city last year, and it had no soap and live cockroaches. But the question is, was it higher or lower rated than the Oscars?
I say lower. What say you, Angel? You say higher? Okay, what is it?
Angel, yeah. You are correct, Angel!
It's higher?
Like yes, 2.5 out of 5 stars on Yelp would give it a 50% approval rating.
That's disgusting. I saw a place in West Hollywood this weekend that had a C from the health department. I had never seen a C hanging up in the window.
The fact that they chose to put it up in the window, so I guess they have to,
Yeah, you got to.
All right, here's your final one, and then we have to take a break. Baby Geniuses 2, the movie.
Oh,
this is not Baby Geniuses 1. This is Baby Geniuses 2, the sequel.
I don't think I've even heard of it.
The premise is all babies are born with knowledge of the secrets of the universe and the ability to speak with each other. And what adults hear is baby talk. One of the reviews says that it had flat direction and actors who look embarrassed to be on screen with babies. But the question is it higher or lower, Angel, than the Oscars?
Lower.
Angel, what do you
think? I'm gonna say lower as well.
Angel, you're going to Cirque du Soleil. That is correct.
Okay.
This is quite possibly the worst rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes with a 2% rating.
I'm intrigued. I hope it's on Netflix. I want to check out at least the first 15.
Just at least see if it's worth hate watching.
Yeah.
Angel, congratulations. You're going
Thank
to Cirque
so
du Soleil
much.
On Thursday at Dodger Stadium. All right, have fun.
Thank you.
And what show is your favorite?
Look at it.
Well,
did you just say Rent?
I'm sorry.
It's drop the subject. Stay on the line, Angel.
All right, we'll be right back.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
Okay. Let's get back to reality, shall we?
Okay.
Let's do some News It or Lose It. I've got three headlines in front of me, and Char, you should have a bell in front of you.
I do.
Okay. Are you ready?
I am.
All right.
This is my favorite segment.
Oh, great. All right. Three headlines. Ready? Here we go. First headline. Plane made emergency landing when drunk passenger starts eating his phone.
What? Mm-hmm. We're going to news that one.
Okay. Headline number two. The latest job to be replaced by robots, 7-Eleven cashier.
I think I'm going to lose that one.
Okay. And then finally, here's why Blac Chyna was at the Oscars.
Oh, news it. I need to know. I would like to know why Angela Renee White Kardashian was at the Academy Awards. I need to know that in the depths of my soul. So thank you, Allie.
All right, Char, that's your choice. We're going to hear about a man who ate his phone on a plane and Blac Chyna at the Oscars. All that when we get back on Drop the Subject.
Fine.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
Okay, News It or Lose It. Char, you ready to hear about Blac Chyna?
I am. Give me the news on Angela.
Okay. So Blac Chyna stunned a bunch of people by posting a video on Instagram of her on her way to the Academy Awards. It bewildered many people because they wondered why the hell she would even be invited to the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out she was there with her music producer by the name of Christopher Trujillo.
Her music producer?
No, sorry, not hers. She was in the car with Christopher Trujillo.
Okay.
And Trujillo has produced music for Ariana Grande, Fifth Harmony, Cheryl Cole, and more. And he also produced the soundtrack for the for Think Like a Man in 2012.
Gotcha.
And he has won a bunch of awards or been nominated for a bunch of awards. So I guess she was his plus one.
Wow, I wonder why that is. Are they romantically linked?
I don't know. I mean, everyone was just saying, how TF did Blac Chyna finesse her way into the Oscars? Blac Chyna at the Oscars, who would have thought this day would come?
I would like to know as well. Like, I was one of those people, I didn't get a chance to see the red carpet or much of the show. But when I saw that that Getty image of Angela on the carpet with all her tattoos out, and so I said, what is going on? If she's there, why aren't I there?
So the biggest, right, exactly. You definitely deserve to be there over her.
Thank you, Allie.
And I don't even know that much about her, but I do know that. All right, let's move on to this plane that made an emergency landing because of this drunk passenger who started eating his own phone, because there are some key details here.
Okay.
All right, drunken passenger was on an airline by the name of EasyJet, which I've never heard of, but I believe from my understanding it is sort of like the Spirit of England.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Traveling from Manchester to Iceland, a man was there and he was on the plane. He was 44 years old, Matthew Flaherty. He pulled out a bottle of gin from his bag, began swigging it straight. He started flirting with one of the female passengers who rejected his advances, which then prompted him to say F off and then scream that he was going to kill her family.
How charming.
Great. Cabin crew members then urged him to calm down and go back to his seat, but he turned on them shouting death threats and struggled with a man who attempted to retrieve his bag from an overhead locker, someone who was doing him a favor.
They don't have air marshals on the UK flights like they do here.
Yeah, I don't know. Then he started, upon descent, pulling apart parts of his phone and chewing them.
Okay, this is how coronavirus gets spread. Your phone is one of the nastiest, germiest places
Great point, Char. You can find dirt.
And you're sitting up there trying to consume it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to assume that this man has something real going on in his life for him to get this. I've heard of people, having drinks to take the edge off of a flight, but this is absurd. And he is too old. You said he was 44.
44.
Oh, no. This is too old. I can see if he were 24 acting out like this. But he has something going on that needs to be examined.
Life advice from Char. Do not chew on your own phone over the age of 24.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right. Here on Channel Q, we always like to hook you up with free trips. So listen closely. If you want to go to South Beach for Miami Beach's Pride, the Miami Beach Pride, it's their biggest weekend festival ever. April 3rd, 4th, and 5th. All you have to do to register to win is to go to wearechannelq.com. You enter the National Flyaway Contest for a chance to experience the best of Miami Beach Pride. We're going to fly you and a friend to beautiful Miami Beach. We're going to set you up in a nice hotel. There may or may not even be a mint on the pillow. We're going to give you two VIP weekend passes. You're going to sip on some drinks because there's an open bar. Of course, there always is in the VIP area. And then you're going to enjoy a little champagne brunchy brunch before the actual parade. All you have to do is go to wearechannelq.com and enter to win. It is the experience of a lifetime.
Now, have you ever been to Miami, Allie?
I've never been to Florida.
You've never been to Florida at all?
No, never.
Oh, wow. See, I've been to Florida a few times.
But you've been to Florida?
Florida.
But you've never been to Miami.
I've never been to Miami.
I will go. I have a friend who lives in Florida. I'm going to wait for her to go and invite us.
Yeah, and Vanessa's there. Producer Vanessa.
That's true. I just haven't had a reason to go yet.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl was kind of a reason, but I was not going to pay $5,000 for a ticket to the Super Bowl.
I feel like I'd be gravely insecure in a city like Miami. Everybody's walking around with bikinis and bodies everywhere.
And rollerblades and speedos, which they're doing here anyway. They're doing here also.
But it's different in Miami.
It is, yeah. They're all sun-kissed in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about the box office a little bit, because there's a movie by the name of Birds of Prey that has recently bombed at the box office, and a lot of feminists are blaming it on sexism. Now, I don't know if you're into DC movies, Char.
Occasionally.
Okay.
I'm into Margot Robbie, I'll tell you that much.
Same.
I've become a big fan, especially when she was Kayla in Bombshell.
She was great in that.
Yeah.
I love Laura Dern, but I kind of think Margot Robbie should have won for that.
Mm.
She had a really, really good performance. But I love Margot Robbie. I also thought she should have won for I, Tonya.
Yes, fantastic.
She's a great actress, and she's not bad on the eyes either.
I was about to say, she's very easy on the eyes. That's a beautiful woman.
She is a beautiful, beautiful woman. But she was in... She played Harley Quinn in the original. What was that movie called? The original
Suicide Squad.
Oh, Suicide Squad. Okay, so this is the sequel to Suicide Squad, and it's all female, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Birds of Prey, and it's done awful, and it's gotten about $33 million in its domestic opening, which is not great. But it seems to have cost them upwards of $100 million to actually produce and make this movie. And I always like to say, when you're seeing a lot of promotion, like way too much promotion for a movie, usually a bad sign. Suicide Squad got really bad reviews too. Didn't mean
Cats.
Cats got horrible reviews.
They were everywhere promoting.
Oh, everywhere.
And Birds of Prey last week, you know, my TV stays on ABC for the most part. They were on Good Morning America. They were on The View. They every show I looked up.
So I don't know, because I can't really, and I do consider myself to be a feminist. I do think there's a lot of misogyny in this world.
I, do, mm-hmm.
I have not seen this movie yet, but I'm going to go ahead and say I think it's just a bad movie. But somebody on Twitter said the blatant sexism around the conversations about Birds of Prey is wild. It's funny what kind of standards everyone holds holds women-centric films to, and everything has to be perfect, but dude bro movies can lack good actors, storylines, and logic and still be praised. She makes a point. I just would have to see the movie to
her
really
critique
know.
Is around the conversation about the film, not the actual film, which I think deserves to be, you know, investigated and looked into, because I'm sure the conversation around Birds of Prey is awful.
Yes.
I'm sure the film is as well, based on how it performed.
Yeah.
But I think it does speak to a larger issue. Why do you think that people just were fundamentally uninterested in seeing this? If they're promoting the trailers everywhere, we got Meg Thee Stallion and Normani doing a song together on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Why didn't people go out and see this?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they will after this to make up for the lost time. Who knows? We have to go. We're going to come back and do Just the Tip Tuesday, because it is Tuesday after all. Drop the Subject returns.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
A warm welcome to Ann Pearson and Doris on Twitter. Thank you very much for the follow. Following both of you back right now. And if you'd like to follow at DTS Show on Twitter or on Instagram or both, we'll definitely follow you back. So thanks. Appreciate you and appreciate your followship. and appreciate the name Doris.
Your fellowship. I like that word.
Yeah. All right, just the Tip Tuesday. Let's get into this now. We do it every Tuesday. We share tips, tricks, life hacks, anything to make your life a little bit easier. And of course, leading into Valentine's Day, a lot of people are trying to lock down a date. But there are a lot of people that are going to have to turn down dates, which is what brings us to this week's Just the Tip Tuesday, how to refuse a date gracefully.
And which you shouldn't have to do, but you know, in a lot of heterosexual relationships, I won't even say cishet because there are some transhet relationships, you got to kind of tap dance because there's a lot of violence going on.
True.
Like there's so many headlines of women rejecting men's advances and then they're missing.
What did we just talk about in News It or Lose It? Guy drinks a bottle of gin.
And he's eating his phone.
And his response to getting turned down is eating his phone.
Okay. And saying that he was going to kill that woman's family.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like, okay, I'm listening to these tips because this is survival, actually.
You're absolutely right. So this is according to WikiHow. They have a lot of inside information on how to do things, like change a tire and refuse a date. So let's start with part one, which is to thank the asker. And this is all about being kind, right? Remember that it took a lot of courage for the person to ask you out. If you genuinely appreciate them for asking, I love that it says him. It just says him. Appreciate him for asking. Thanking him will soften the blow for your refusal. All right. Saying thank you, followed by number two, which is complimenting the person, which I kind of disagree with because I feel like that's misleading. Be kind and give them positive feedback before your refusal. You can say things like, you're so much fun to spend time with, but...
Not tonight.
Or, you've been a great friend these past few months, but... Or, you drank a bottle of gin and approached me on a flight, but...
Oh, gosh.
So, any of those, okay? Agree, disagree on giving somebody a compliment before refusing to go on a date with them?
You know, I feel like these rules shouldn't even be in place because I think every instance is so nuanced and specific. You kind of just got to kind of go with what you know, and kind of go with, you got to read the room. You know how they tell stand-up comedians to read the room? You got to read, you got to get the vibe.
Exactly.
Not everything is compliment worthy because that could be leading someone on who you have no interest in.
You could also be leading them on with your body, which is number three. Be mindful of your body language. You might speak clearly and assertively, but you may be unintentionally sending confusing messages with your body. Don't pull away from the person, but don't lean in. Keep your arms uncrossed, make eye contact, and smile gently.
I don't know about all that, but don't be giving me no pity hugs or kisses or anything like that if I happen to ask you out on a date.
Number four, I'm pretty sure everybody I know does. Avoid gossiping. It might have been funny to you that this person asked you out, or it may be tempting to talk about it with your best friends. Don't spread the news of this person asking you out. Respect their feelings, and remember that it took courage.
I disagree with that one because you could tell your friends and it doesn't have to be like a salacious thing or I'm laughing at this person behind their back.
No, but you're going to share your experience.
Yeah.
You're going to say, Tom from finance asked me out and I had to politely say no. Isn't that crazy? What a loser he is. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
I wouldn't
Allie.
Say that. Then it says to handle their response. Show empathy when you're turning them down. Be compassionate and remember that the other person has feelings. Take time to listen and to validate their response and let them know that you appreciate their vulnerability.
Okay, I agree with certain aspects of this because people do have to work themselves up to ask someone out. And it takes a lot of putting your pride aside because, you know, it's not a guaranteed yes. It's a gamble when you ask someone out. So I could see that. And you want to be kind because the energy that you put out will come back to you in one way or another.
It's a law of attraction.
Yes.
The final on this list is definitely not, though I think this is the number one way people refuse dates, ghosting.
Ugh, that's so lazy to me. Use your words. You're an adult.
I know. Come on. Human interaction, for God's sake.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right, drop the subject. Allie here. Char Giselle joining me all show long. And where can people follow you, Char?
You can follow me at Char Says So. That's Char with an S, not a C. and says so, not say so.
Okay, great. wonderful. Well, are you any good at math?
No, I actually really, really suck. I was good at addition growing up. And then things got confusing when subtraction and time telling was introduced. And then it just went downhill from there.
Well, you know, a lot of that stuff you can throw out the window now, like time telling.
Yeah.
No one needs to read it, you know.
And subtraction was easy until we got to like triple digit, like 785 minus 287.
Well, math is for nerds anyway. No, I'm just kidding. The reason I bring it up is because, you know, a lot of people, they learn multiplication, division, all the basic stuff in school. And then you know, if you're like Char, you might say, like, why am I even learning this? Maybe I'm never even going to use this.
Literally,
this is pissing me off.
I was queen of language arts. I was the undefeated champ of language arts and spelling bees and things like that. Reading books for pizza parties. I was that girl.
Well, good. I mean, I think that the English language is sort of going in the trash because of Twitter, but I also think it's important to know your vocabulary and know how to spell it. Okay. The reason I say this is because your ability to do math, if you can remember it, could get you some free stuff. And I'm talking to anybody who lives in New York. There's a cashier right now, and this is a great reason for, you know, cashiers not to be replaced by robots, a story that Char lost, but still important to reference here. A young cashier is offering free food and goodies to New York City customers who can solve simple math problems. He's actually getting some video of this, putting it up on Instagram. Here's just one example of what he's doing.
If you get this question right, you get to grab whatever you want. You have 5 seconds to grab whatever you want.
One question.
Five times five.
Get that 25.
Five, four, three.
So
two.
Now he's running around grabbing anything he possibly can. And what's great is that he grabs, you know, every single bag of chips that he can grab. He grabs a ho-ho, he grabs some cupcakes, and then at the last second, the bananas are right by the register, so he's just like, and some bananas. I mean, why would you buy those at a bodega, but still.
Exactly. And the clip of this that I saw, I didn't know that we were going to be talking about this today, and I saw a clip on Twitter of the same guy, and he does the countdown, and the guy that won the 5 seconds, he literally just grabbed a rack. But the first thing, like literally like the chip rack, he grabbed it and brought it to the register. But the first thing that he tried to grab was the bodega cat. So the guy's like, five, four, not my cat, three. And the cat's there looking like.
And that was a man and not a lesbian, right?
Yeah, it was a guy.
Oh, yes. Unbelievable. Who says that men don't like cats? Five times five, though. That's a really easy math problem to solve.
Super easy. Even I would have gotten that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's easier than like two times one, I would even say.
Yeah, I mean, you got to kind of think about it, but you'd get it. You know, with multiplication, I think about those mad minute. I hate it, those. You know, you got to flip your paper over.
You got to do as many as you can in a time period. Yeah, the pressure definitely eats at you.
I don't like that.
Here's my gripe with this guy. He asks a woman to do the same challenge, and listen to the math question that he gives to her.
Anissa, if you get this question right, you have 5 seconds to pick up whatever you want and this rose bear.
For real?
For real.
Okay.
11 times 11 minus 20.
Okay.
11 times 11.
Okay. Like what?
101.
And then she
five,
gets it.
Four.
But how much harder is that than 5 times 5?
He gave her an algebraic equation, okay?
I mean, what is every woman that walks in, he's like, all right, the cosine of 27, I want that. If you don't have a calculator, then you're SOL.
Maybe it's because, you know, studies have shown that women are and sometimes a bit smarter than men.
Okay, well, yeah, but then there's the reputation that women are bad at math.
Yeah, I mean, I fulfill that, so I'm gonna take a back seat to this conversation.
All right, well, Jesse, our producer here at Drop the Subject, he wants to give us bit of a math problem right now, and this is for a prize, right, Jesse?
Yeah, is this on? Yeah. So yeah, I have a prize in my bag. It's a food prize.
Are you Angel? Did you call earlier?
Yeah. The math problem was kind of harder at the beginning of the segment, but after you guys were talking, I kind of simplified it a bit.
Okay. So what's the prize? I want to know the prize.
When you win, you'll get it.
Oh.
Okay. Well, all right.
Okay. So what's the problem?
Okay. 3 times 3 plus 10.
Oh, man, you did that just... All right.
I think I know. Okay. Wait, 3 times 3 is what, 9?
Before you knew that.
3 times 3 is 9 plus 10. That's 19, right?
Yep, there you go.
Yeah. Ooh, a cup of noodles.
I got a beef flavored.
Oh, that's the best one.
Thank you, Jesse.
It's the only one.
Thank you.
3 times 3 plus 10. Yeah.
I might have this as a post-show snack.
There you go. Perfect. Unbelievable. Well, did you know that you were going to win something on this show today?
I did not. But you know what? Shout out to Miss Meyer, my third grade teacher. I got... that problem, correct. Shout out to you, Darlene.
Yeah, and you know what? Even though we did give you a little bit of a time limit, you figured it out.
I did.
But you know what? You had a good strategy. You dinged first, and then you did the math after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations, all right?
I'm competitive. I can be a bit cutthroat.
That is true. All right. The show continues. Drop the subject. A serial killer talk. Yes, that's correct. Apparently, a specific... zodiac sign possesses most of the quality traits of serial killers, and one of the people in this room is that zodiac sign. So we'll get to that next.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right. A warm welcome to another new Twitter follower, JerMill7. Welcome, JerMill7. You have followed us at DTS Show. You've made the best decision you will make today, and I have followed you back. So there. If you follow us at DTS Show on Instagram or on Twitter, we will absolutely follow you back. Nat_Toshak on Instagram said, "You guys are the best. Keep it up. I enjoy the show so much that I effing miss it on weekends."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wonderful. And then a Hanuman2000 just wanting to let us know that Subaru is now a part of Toyota. Does that make it less appealing to lesbians? See, these are the questions that we need to be asking.
I'm not a lesbian, but I happen to love Toyota. Those are some loyal cars.
They are.
They never break down.
No, they don't. And all us lesbians want is reliability.
See?
So that's why we like the Subarus. That's why we like Hondas and Toyotas. Anything that's practical and reliable and economical.
Yes.
And that has, you know, maybe leather seats because we'll probably have dogs in the back seat.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about serial killers, Char.
Oh, yes. So.
Because there is apparently a one zodiac sign that is very, very likely to be a serial killer most of the time. And I think that, because I've read some articles about this too, the one that I have is different from the one you have. So let's start with your article.
Oh, so we have two different articles that tote the same information?
Well, we'll find out. I don't know if it's the exact same information, but we'll see. So what does yours say?
Okay, so this is according to the New York Post, okay? So there was a study conducted by Britain's The Mirror, and they did a serial killer astrological sign roundup. And they found that the majority of the bloodthirsty evildoers are... Taurus.
Tauruses. And who in this room is a Taurus?
Producer Jesse.
The little silent serial killer over there, Jesse.
Producer Jesse. But you know what threw me off about this is that Tauruses don't really, like, I would have thought it would have been Aries, because a lot of Aries have, like, what's associated with that star sign is, like, a lot of, like, anger and angst and things like that. And, like,
well, they're a fire sign,
quick-tempered,
right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Taurus is in my wheelhouse. I'm a Capricorn. Capricorn, Virgo, and Taurus, we're all earth signs, which means you're grounded, you're practical. So I guess that's what makes it even scarier, because you all are probably really smart, conniving, and you probably, like, with the serial killerness of it all, it's not on impulse. Taurus is probably planned out.
Yeah, well, maybe the groundedness comes from the desire to bury bodies.
Maybe so.
Well, Jesse, what do you have to say about this? Please defend Tauruses, and then we will get to my article, because my article highlights a completely different zodiac sign. You're not pleading your case very well right now.
Yeah, we're hearing crickets, Jess.
I'm not a serial killer.
Yeah, that's exactly what a serial killer would say.
I was about to say, they probably all say that.
Because this is what they do, is people like Jesse blend in.
Uh-huh.
Okay? They're just kind of permeating the halls. Huh?
That's just because I'm white.
Well, that too. But, you know, everyone, when stories like this come about, people like you and me, Shar, are like, I would have never guessed.
We would be in shock if the FBI barged into this studio right now and arrested you saying that they found, you know, the bodies under your steps or something. I'd be like, certainly not Jesse.
No, I would have never guessed. He was always nice.
Yep.
He was complimentary.
Yep.
He played
punctual sounds
sometimes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So here's what mine says, and this is from a place called thethoughtcatalog.com. It says 9 little known reasons why Geminis are the most likely to be serial killers.
That does not surprise me. Donald Trump is a Gemini.
He is?
Kanye West is a Gemini.
Okay. A lot of Geminis get a really bad reputation.
They do.
And I know this is Stars Talk with Shar and Allie right now, and there are some of you who don't know a lot of these signs and what they mean, but Geminis
but there are
in general...
there are a lot of good Geminis, too.
There are, but Geminis are... they have a reputation for being two-sided,
yep.
having kind of leading a double life, which goes along with the serial
yep.
killer process. They're very adaptable,
mm-hmm.
so they can kind of change... maybe locations, they can change jobs, change identities.
They're charming.
They're very charming.
That's one of their qualities.
They're also a little bit egocentric or sometimes attention seekers. That's one of
a
their negative.
Did you hear the two Geminis I just listed off? A little egocentric.
Okay, hold on. Superiority complexes?
Listen.
Mm-hmm. Trouble forming deep relationships and have a tendency to act out. So I don't know. I mean, I would be curious to go through. I wonder what our different sources are, because you must go through the Rolodex of all of the serial killers that have been prolific throughout the past 100 years
yeah.
and figure out when their birthdays are.
Well, the way that I see it is my source via the New York Post is a British publication and yours might be American.
so maybe it depends.
Maybe I'm talking about Jack the Ripper and you're talking about, I don't know, John
H.
Wayne
H. Holmes.
Gacy or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we'll have to do some investigating. What zodiac sign do you think is more likely to be a serial killer? Tweet us your thoughts at DTS Show. Drop the Subject returns in a moment.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
All right. I want to welcome a new Twitter follower at DTS Show on Twitter. A new Twitter follower by the name of Jesse Blackburn 16. That's our own serial killer producer. Thank you so much, Jesse, for following the show that you now produce. Very, very nice of you. And yes, if you continue to follow us, we will continue to follow back. Also hearing back from Napua63 on Instagram, who is a Gemini, and said, no, 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 no. Maybe Geminis can be serial killers, but not me. Definitely something a serial killer would say.
Without question.
Mm-hmm. And Nate underscore Toshak, who I shouted out earlier, said, dude, literally just got in my car and heard you guys share the love. So awesome. You guys are the best. We are Channel Q to the core. Very exciting.
Yes, to the core.
Yes. Thank you so much. Brian AC 03 said, still tuning in every day. You always crack me up. Y'all's biggest fan in Houston. And that's true because they said y'all.
I literally love Houston, one of my top cities in the United States.
Well.
I got my purse stolen there one time that I went. I was in college. Listen, I was up to things, and someone stole my purse in a strip club of all places.
Well, I mean, yeah. if you're going to lose your purse,
it was
probably.
But literally all of the women were on stage, so a man obviously took my stuff.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to a strip club as a guy, you're already... probably not in the best of spirits, and then to steal a woman's purse at a strip club is definitely lower than low.
I was praying that they would just take the little bit of cash, or maybe if you want my cards, take that, but leave my IDs and stuff,
yeah.
toss it to the side
and
so
the
I can find
it. And purse in general.
It. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It was a little clutch.
Well, let's talk about another... Let's talk about another city now. Miami. Wouldn't you love to go and celebrate Miami Beach Pride? It's their biggest weekend festival ever in Miami Beach, April 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And if you go to wearechannelq.com right now, you can enter to win a national flyaway contest. This is a chance to experience Miami Beach Pride. It's the best of the best. And we're going to fly you and a friend to Miami Beach. So you don't just have to be local to Miami. I know we're on in Miami, but we're on in 35 other places. So this is good news for everyone listening. We're going to set you up in a wonderful hotel. We're going to give you a VIP weekend passes. You're going to get open bar with that VIP. And you're also going to get a champagne brunch right before you head into the parade. So go to wearechannelq.com for a chance to experience Miami Beach in style. All right. I just wanted to quickly mention before we get into song here that I put a question out on Twitter. I want to know what you think of it. Mm-hmm. It's a poll, and I got a lot more responses than I thought I would get. What is worse, hearing about someone's dream, podcast, or baby?
I'd say out of all three of those, I would say podcast.
Okay, and when you say podcast, is it somebody talking about a podcast that they host or a podcast that they're currently listening to?
Host. Okay. Honestly, okay. Host, because I wouldn't mind hearing about your dream.
Yeah.
I always find those fascinating. And then the babies are cute, too.
Okay, because baby won the poll 57%, followed by podcast, followed by dream.
Well, I could see how baby would win.
I will say that podcast is, it's definitely rough, especially when you're not immediately not connected to the subject matter.
Yeah.
But dream, I will say, can be really awful if the person is struggling to remember the dream while they tell it to you.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, no, I was on a roller coaster, but then, hold on, but wait, there were also there were gargoyles.
You got to be consistent in your storytelling.
And you're like, nope, you got 5 seconds. Well, anyway, a lot of interesting questions being posed on Twitter. We're going to head into a song now. This is very special because today is an anniversary.
Yes. So it's not only is it Black History Month, but, you know, today is also Kelly Rowland and Brandy and Jennifer Aniston's birthday. But on this day in 2012, we lost the voice, Whitney Elizabeth Houston. And so coming up, we have It's Not Right, But It's Okay, iconic song by the icon herself.
Absolutely.
Rest in peace, Whitney.
Rest in peace. We love you, Whitney. All right, more Drop the Subject and some Whitney Houston to get you through until then.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Okay, Drop the Subject. Allie and Shar Gisell hanging with me today, and we are about to chat on the phone with the infamous Jarryd Hill about the New Hampshire primary, which is happening, I believe, according to the timetable in front of me on MSNBC. We have 3 hours, 52 minutes, and 26 seconds left in the New Hampshire primary. So this is Drop the President.
Drop the President.
Jarryd, how are you, good sir?
Apparently I'm infamous now.
I know, I don't know. It just felt right. I was just kind of throwing it out there. It makes you sound mysterious.
I've been gone a week and a day. Yeah, I've been very well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you've got election night and late night again tonight at 9, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. So where are we at with the New Hampshire primary? Because when I looked this morning, I saw a midnight poll showing that Klobuchar was leading with 8 votes. Do you think it's going to change?
I think the chances are good that that will evolve in the coming hours. New Hampshire is a unique state in that right at midnight on the day of election day or primary day in this instance, they open up polls. There are three different polls that open up in New Hampshire where people can go and vote, and they have very small like communities there. So they get their results pretty quickly. So Amy Klobuchar is actually expected to potentially do very well tonight. If you're looking at some of the voters who've been, you know, interviewed out on the street, a lot of people have made their minds up in only the last couple of days, and a lot of them have said that they're interested in Amy Klobuchar, as well as, you know, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Pete Buttigieg. Not a whole lot of support for Joe Biden, but I get a feeling we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yes, well, that does segue perfectly, because I just saw that he's already hopping on a plane and ditching New Hampshire to go to South Carolina.
Wow.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that's a bad sign for Joe Biden?
Yeah, Joe Biden has opted to spend the day in New Hampshire and spend the evening in South Carolina. Just for context, most candidates like to be in the state that is voting, if there's one state voting, so that they can have, you know, a celebratory event at the end of the night to say how well they did. Notably, last week in Iowa, we saw, you know, Pete Buttigieg come out and make his speech saying that he'd won, even though there were no results. We saw that from Bernie Sanders. Yeah. We saw that from Amy Klobuchar. And we saw Joe Biden get out there and say, well, we don't know what the results are. The thing about that was we already had some kind of idea that Joe Biden had not done well there. So I think that they are using that same opportunity tonight to not have a party in South Carolina and move forward to South Carolina, where they seem to have their best hope of having a good night. Although, you know, the polling about Joe Biden nationally is saying that may not be the case. South Carolina has a large Black voter population, and that is where Joe Biden expects to do well. But in the last couple of days here, there's a new poll that says his support in the Black community has dropped by half, dropped down by 22 points down to 27%. So it's going to be interesting to see how South Carolina shapes up for him.
Huh. So any indication as to who these Black voters are turning to, if they're turning away from Biden?
Well, what's interesting about that is we saw a major drop from Biden and a major spike for Bloomberg.
Ew.
Which is interesting,
ew,
right? Because also, yeah, well, today there's also a new audio out from a podcast that is pulling some audio from Mike Bloomberg a few years ago talking about stop and frisk. If you're not familiar with stop and frisk, it's this policy in New York City under Mike Bloomberg's mayorship where police could stop any person that they wanted to for any reason, stop them and frisk them, and seemingly arrest them if they so chose, just because they thought they looked suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
When that was in practical application, that ended up meaning that I want to say it was like somewhere like 90% or something like that of the people that were stopped and frisked were Black and brown. Don't quote me on that number, but it was an extreme number that ended up being Black and brown, and it had a major negative impact on the Black and brown people of New York City. And he was talking about it and defending it, saying that, you know, all of the crime happens in minority neighborhoods, and that's where you need to put all the cops. And
we played that clip earlier.
Yeah, we played that clip earlier. And it's like, I remember when he said he was running, we talked on the air about how he had apologized for that. But it's still, this audio is jarring to listen to, and it's kind of crazy to imagine that someone's completely changed their mind. And also the audio of him talking about the bathroom bill and, you know, and referencing trans people's men in dresses and things like that.
And
so
I think that it goes hand in hand, because I think what a lot of people actually miss, especially with older Black voters, is that the Black community at large is still fairly conservative. And I think that a lot of Black people would actually be Republicans if the Republican Party didn't have so many racial undertones. That's the nicest way for me to say it. So I'm serious.
I mean, yeah, you're right.
They're in the church and it's conservative.
Huh.
But I will say, like, say it with your chest, right? If Republicans weren't so racist, they'd have a lot more Black and brown people.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So, like, and I mean, Bill Maher for years has said, if you're a Republican, it doesn't mean that you're racist, but if you're racist, it probably means you're Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this overwhelming sentiment within communities of color that the Republican Party is not there for them. And I think that we continue to see that with these Republican administrations, whether they be president or if they're running the Senate or Congress or what have you, that Republicans do not have Black and brown people in mind. And you can simply look at the representation that you see from Republicans in the Senate or in the House or in their elected offices across the country. Then there are not a lot of Black or brown people that are represented there at all.
Right. Huh. Interesting. Well, it'll be interesting to see how things play out tonight. And you'll be covering it tonight on Channel Q for election night in late night with Jarrett Hill. So you're not a morning person anymore. You're staying up late now to do this, aren't you?
I'm literally horizontal as we speak.
Now, hold on now.
Yeah. All right. We can't go into more detail on the radio. Jarrett, thank you. News it or lose it's on deck.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q. Hey.
All right, drop the subject.
Now
Allie,
I need a drink.
And charge yourself. We're talking about how difficult it is to date men.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You all missed one heck of a story, but that's not for you, the listeners. That's in studio only. Love you
all
to death.
That's a Char exclusive for my ears only. Okay, let's talk about a gay job fair. Now, this is happening in Iowa. I figured it's important to talk about it because, you know, especially with some of the cases that the Supreme Court is hearing this year about some people who were fired over their sexual orientation or their gender orientation, you know, this is very relevant. And I think what it's a program called Iowa Safe Schools is doing is really interesting and really needed. It is they're doing their second annual LGBTQ Career Expo. And I know what you're thinking. This is just jobs for hairdressers and carpenters. That's not true. Okay. It's basically over 30 different employers, and they're showing up at these fairs to boost their business, of course, and also just show that they're inclusive of the LGBTQ community so mm-hmm. that people who are looking for jobs can actually apply and feel safe. One of the college students who is in need of a job is commenting on this. Her name's Caden, and she says, being transgender myself, it's really hard to find jobs that are accepting where I don't have to lie about who I am and hide that. So my resumes have my legal name on it, but they're all writing my preferred name. This is like a godsend to have something like this. So do you think that this, I mean, obviously this is very beneficial. Have you ever run into a situation where this has prevented you from getting a job?
No, fortunately I have not. However, but that's because I don't lead with my transness because I don't have to.
Right.
And I only really speak about it in places where the conversation is pertinent. But I have had to, you know, especially I hate being a black trans woman because that matters.
Yeah.
And on the margins of society, I have definitely watered elements of myself down just out of survival mode because I've seen and I've heard horrible stories.
You have to protect yourself.
Yeah. One of my mentors, well, former mentor, she's more of a peer now. I remember her telling me that she was like fired from like 3 or 4 jobs in a row because of certain things. But for me, I like at the beginning of my transition, I made sure all of my paperwork, like I was fortunate enough to do that first. Mm. And then I started a lot of the physical aspects of my transition that I wanted. But I wanted to make sure that the paperwork was in order so that I could move, you know, quote unquote, seamlessly throughout the career it all.
And I wonder what type of job, if what type of career you want has an effect. I imagine it must, right? So for entertainment and media, probably a little more inclusive than
you would be surprised. There have been certain jobs that I've taken even so much as last year where I have felt afterwards like, okay, clearly someone didn't Google. I'm glad I did not disclose, but the check cleared. I'm going to move on.
Wow.
Yeah, you can pick up, people aren't overt with it, but you can certainly pick up on the culture and the feel of the room when it comes to certain topics.
Some kind of a topic about, say, the transgender community will come up and someone will say something and you're like, ooh, okay, interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've been talking about, too, in education, it can be very tough for people to disclose their sexuality or their gender identity because
wasn't a
lot
lesbian teacher fired?
I mean, I'm sure because some lesbian teacher has been fired
at
some point.
I think I read a story about a lesbian teacher being fired because she had a picture on her desk. It was on display of she and her wife. And one of the kids went and told their mom or their parent, and their parent was like super conservative and was like, not in my house, you won't.
It's not your house.
I know. But kind of like let this charge, you know, this like change.org petition within the school district to get this teacher removed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've been very fortunate where until I shaved half of my head, it really wasn't like people looked at me and were like, oh, you're gay.
You were straight assumed.
Yes. People would just assume that I was, you know, just kind of
just like I'm cis assumed in a lot of spaces.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I mean, people, you know, I think they might walk by and be like, well, she's a little homely. But that was it. So I never really felt directly like I was being denied a job or anything like that. That being said, you know, when I was actively auditioning for commercials and TV shows and things like that 10 years ago, it did seem like they wanted something that I was not.
Right. And I will piggyback off of that and say that I've never felt, in full honesty, well, there's been very, very few times that I felt, oh, I've been denied of this because I am trans. in most cases, I feel I have been denied because I am black, honestly.
More so than
more
being
so,
trans.
Yes. Yes. Without question.
Uh-huh.
Without question.
And is that just because, you know what? We've reached our quota.
Yes.
We already have a black person on staff. We
yes.
don't need two.
Well, every
thank you so much, Char.
Every situation is nuanced, and I always kind of run things by friends and family to make sure I'm not reaching or, you know, like I don't want to just jump to conclusions. But
well, yeah, that's always good to do that.
But yeah, but when you sift through things with the fine tooth comb, it's like, that's probably why, like, they saw my name and maybe didn't know that I was black or didn't Google me.
Huh.
But there's a certain reaction when you walk into a room where it's like, oh, my blackness, my womanness is on display. And you're like, I'm not doing this. I'm not hiring her.
Well, and then if you do get hired, you're more likely to get paid less.
Not only get paid less, but you got to deal with microaggressions and, you know, all different types of stuff.
And mansplaining.
It's a whole.
Unbelievable.
We could do a whole other show on it, girl.
Yeah, we don't have enough time.
But this is great.
No.
I love that they're doing this.
I agree. Iowa Safe Schools, this is a really cool thing that they're doing. Look it up. Maybe we'll tweet out the article.
And
so
I hope that the employers
it.
Are being just and right and fair as they're collecting these resumes and reviewing their applicants.
Yes.
And really just out there helping people because it's not easy out here.
No.
You know?
Yeah, well said. Thank you, Char. Yeah. Are you ready for News It or Lose It?
I am.
Ooh, I've got my bell ready. So you're going to get some news in a second. Stick around. Drop the Subject returns.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
Okay. I've got a bell in front of me. You've got some headlines. Char, you ready for News It or Lose It?
Yes, and in honor of the New Hampshire primary, you know I always pick a famous journalist to take on their last name during the News It or Lose It segment.
Yes.
I am going to be Char Stephanopoulos, a nod to ABC's George Stephanopoulos. I've been Char Stephanopoulos before, but today's a political day, and I like George.
All right.
He's fun.
All right, Char Stephanopoulos with the headlines. I'm ready.
Okay, story number one. Archaeologists accused of forging the earliest portrayal of Jesus' crucifixion.
Oh,
this
sure.
man altered history, and now he's accused of forging. Go figure. Second story. The number of friends you have could determine how long you live.
Oh, no. Yes.
I'm
going to news it, but I don't know if I'm going to like the result.
And my last one. An art critic accidentally destroyed a $20,000 installation at a Mexico fair.
Interesting, but I think we have all we need there. I'm going to lose it.
All righty.
So we'll hear about those two stories.
When we're back.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
All right, Char. I want to hear about fake Jesus.
Let's talk about the Lord. So there's this archaeologist named Eliseo Gil.
Okay.
And he is accused of forging Jesus' crucifixion.
The whole thing?
Well, findings. I should say findings. And when I say that his findings were so monumental at the time, they, quote, rewrote history books. And this is according to The Telegraph. They're saying that everything was falsified. Now, a criminal court in Spain's Basque County is set to begin determining if Gil and two other colleagues, well, former colleagues, 2006 discovery of the 3rd century depiction of Christ's crucifixion is or is not the real deal. Now, if he is convicted, he's going to go away.
Die on the cross.
Oh. Well, that's a funny way of putting it. He said recently that he's been ostracized by the archaeological world, like that whole like society, I guess everyone's turning their backs on him.
Okay.
And he says that it is akin to, quote, going through torture.
Oh, he is. So he is kind of comparing it.
Yeah, so
to the crucifixion itself.
And also, according to the New York Post, there are people on both sides. So they don't really go into detail as to what the findings were, but there is doubt that have popped up. And he would have to spend 5 years in prison if convicted and pay $313,000 in damages for allegedly.
Damages? You're just digging.
But they're saying that he inscribed authentic objects with fake graffiti.
Oh, no. He's like, this cup belongs to Jesus.
To Judas Iscariot.
Wow. Unbelievable. I guess you know, when you're in prison and people ask you how you got there, and you say it's because I falsified Jesus's crucifixion, that's definitely a unique story that people are, I don't know if it's going to get you beat up or opposite.
I don't understand why people do things like this, because everything you do in the dark comes to light. That's in the Bible. So why even play around with that? Like, and then you're playing with artifacts and rewriting history books and stuff with your findings. Like, come on now.
I don't know. I always get confused when they're like, this is the chalice that Jesus drank out of. I'm like, who knows that?
Right.
Who, says, this is just an old
says
chalice.
Who.
Right.
Says who. Yeah.
Huh. All right. What else?
So the number of friends that we have could determine how long that we live.
Now, is this Facebook friends or actual friends?
Actually, even though the article does say that social media actually helps with friends, I thought that it would say the opposite. But there's a book coming out by science journalist Lydia Denworth. It's titled Friendship, the Evolution, Biology, and Extraordinary Power of Life's Fundamental Bond.
Okay.
Well, I should
I
say
think
that
she
it's
should have shortened it a little bit.
Yeah, it's well, it's got like the colon in it and everything.
Long-winded.
So the average American claims to have about 4 close friends. The great majority of us have between 2 and 6. Only 5% of those studied, they conducted a study, had more than 8. Now, what I found was interesting is that, of course, frenemies, this goes with common sense. Frenemies and stressful relationships that could be viewed as damaging hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
they don't go on to say just how long, like, what your group of friends, like, how long extra you would live, because there's
yeah,
of
they're
course,
not like, it's 2 years per friend or anything
right,
like that.
It's
they
nothing,
just notice that if you have a lot of enemies, then
it
you're
takes
like,
away.
Uh-huh,
so
docks
you. There's no conclusive type study, of course, because there's other factors like your diet, do you smoke, like
right.
there's things that
if
factor
you're a chain
into,
smoker with 20,000 friends, it doesn't mean they cancel each other out.
Well, even with friends, you know, you go out and socially drink, there's there's detriment to your body. So
now that's a good point, Char, because sometimes if you have a lot of friends, you could do things that are relatively unhealthy to celebrate and be with your friends.
All those heavy dinners, we all do it in LA. So the story is that it's, like I said, it's that of common sense. Typically, the more friends that you have, the more abundantly that you will live of genuine friendships. I'm not talking about associates or acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
The more frenemies and kind of nice, nasty relationships you have, that could be doing some harm to your health in the long run.
Hmm, very interesting. I definitely learned some things from that. Thank you, Char. And if you learned something, or maybe you heard about something that was a little bit of a bummer, good news. You can turn around and put a silver lining on it and give us a happy ending. That's up next.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Just wanted to share some pertinent information. I know we've been crapping all over Mike Bloomberg today. And I actually looked up his birthday because I wanted to see if he was a Taurus or a Gemini. And his birthday is Valentine's Day.
Oh, he's an Aquarius.
Yeah.
Wow.
So as a fellow Aquarian, I apologize.
Okay.
I mean, I am sorry. I had no idea. But having a birthday on Valentine's Day must really suck. If you're going to go out for a birthday dinner, it's totally overpriced.
Yeah, I have a cousin whose birthday is on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's probably a big reason why he's got a chip on his shoulder.
And he's so racist and transphobic. Maybe he took.
I don't want to blame it on that.
Maybe
but.
He took an Ambien too, Roseanne. Maybe that's a Valentine's Day birthday and an Ambien.
All right, let me tell you how you can win a trip to Miami to go to Pride. You have to go to wearechannelq.com. You can enter to win. It's a national contest, and here's what you get. You get a plane ticket, okay? It's a flyaway contest. So we will fly you and a friend to Miami Beach. We're going to put you in a hotel. It even says on this piece of paper, it's a gorgeous hotel, and I believe anything that I read. And we will provide you with 2 VIP weekend passes to Miami Beach Pride, where you can sip on some lovely drinks. Maybe there's an umbrella in them. There's an open bar in the VIP section. And you even get to enjoy a champagne brunch before you head over to the parade. You just go to wearechannelq.com, enter to win. You and a friend could be there April 3rd through the 5th. True VIP style. Wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Okay, let's get into some happy endings. This is an opportunity. Of course, Char, you've been on the show before. You remember how happy endings work.
Yes, and this is always like my least favorite segment. Partially because Ginger Justin, when he was a part of this beloved show, he ruined it for me because he was so good at it.
He had some great,
everything
some great
was just, you know, nothing but net. He was taking his shot and it was just going in from the free throw line.
Yeah, but he was just lurking in the background thinking of a happy ending all
the
show long. You know what I mean? Like, he had plenty of time
They'd
to write
drafts. They'd
be
so catchy, though.
Yes, he was good with his happy endings. And you know what? Ginger Justin, if you're listening, you can always tweet them at us at DTS Show.
Right. Be my writer.
Yes. Be Shar Stephanopoulos' writer. That being said, do you have a happy ending that you feel comfortable sharing?
I do. And this is in reference to Mike Bloomberg. So it's so funny that you brought him up. So although, you know, he's wasting everyone's time by proving to be a distraction within this presidential race, mm-hmm. what he can do, I took some time to really think about what he can do. And what he can do is take that money that I mentioned, grassroots, and donate to the Trans Latina Coalition stationed mm-hmm. here in Los Angeles. Give to the LGBT Youth Center. I think his best bet would be to take some of those finances and put his money where his mouth is, because, baby, these apologies, just they're not going to work.
Well, I think that's a great happy ending, because yes, he's said some awful things in the past and a lot of it's coming up now, but because it's coming up now, maybe it will end up turning into something good in the
Give
form
to the justice
of some
reform.
Of these. Yeah.
You ruined lives with stop and frisk. Give to some sort of justice reform, someone's mm-hmm. case. Like, you're a billionaire, and people that you were affecting and people that you were out here saying nasty things about are on the margins of society. They're already oppressed, and you contributed to that. I'm talking to you, Mike Bloomberg. You contributed to that oppression. So I think the best way for him to right his wrong is to put his money where his mouth is.
Mm-hmm. And the real silver lining here is that he's not going to win anyway.
So might as well.
Turn it into a learning experience. All right, here is my happy ending. Sure, we played an Oscar game today that didn't go so well. Okay, I like to blame Angel for that. But
but we love you, Angel.
But we love you, Angel. We love you. Thank you for listening. But it was less than perfect, which is going to happen from time to time on Drop the Subject. And I take full responsibility for that. I also got a text from my boss saying, let's catch up after the show. So this may be my last show. But the good news and the silver lining is that there's a great LGBT job fair for me if I do lose my job.
In Iowa,
which... Always needed a reason to go to Iowa.
Okay, now.
Mm-hmm.
Dubuque. That's a good one, though. That is a good one.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed that one. And you know what? Just to piggyback off of that, this is a live show.
This is 100% a live show.
If we were taped, maybe the game would have went different. This is a live show. What you see is what you get. Well, what you hear is
exactly.
what you get.
And this is all stuff that we're trying out, you know?
Yeah,
you just
got
to throw paint on the wall and see what sticks. Jesse, what's your serial killer happy ending?
Yeah, so I may be a Taurus, but I do share a birthday with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and David Beckham.
Oh.
All right, so what I'm really
and
hearing
they're both hot.
Is that Dwayne The Rock Johnson and David Beckham are serial killers.
Yeah.
I would hope not.
No, I don't.
Because I would easily, accidentally, be one of their victims. They're both married men, but let me tell
you
something.
You're like, worth it.
Let me tell you something.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you, Shar, for joining us. It's always a pleasure. I love having you in. And you can follow Shar at Shar Says So on Twitter and on Instagram.
Yep.
And I know I'll see you in the hall sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And definitely catch Jarrett Hill's show tonight, election night in late night, right here on Channel Q at 9 p.m. Let's Go There is next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.